You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are coming back to Atlanta. Right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge this season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If I know Langston's barber, he's 50 at least, but...
You know what's funny? Is my barber is actually the youngest one in that little group of men.
No.
But he's worn long and hard, you know what I mean? That saddle's been on the dusty road for a while. Bang, 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 skeet, skeet, skeet. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another phenomenal episode of My Mama Told Me,
the podcast where we dive deep into the pockets of Black conspiracy theories.
And we finally work to prove that the L in Samuel L. Jackson stands for loud. Samuel Loud Jackson. That motherfucker be yelling and it works. You know, undeniably the best yeller in all of Hollywood, I would say.
I don't like it when he doesn't yell. That's when I get upset.
Ugh. A quiet Samuel Loud Jackson? No, thank
Pensive?
You.
Pensive? No. Gross. No. It's not Samuel P. Jackson.
I like a good escalation, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
He's like, oh, you like hamburger?
The speech? Yeah.
Yeah, he exactly. Starts off cool and he's asking questions that make you uncomfortable, and then he's screaming at you.
Yeah, he's like a stepdad.
Get out of my room, Sam.
Yeah, that's a tasty burger. Clean the motherfucking dishes.
Well, I'm one of your hosts, Langston Kerman.
I'm the other one, David Borey.
Hell yeah. And we you've already heard our guest today. We're so excited that he's here. He's a returning an all-star of the show. Have we reached RuPaul Drag Race level quality where we can start calling motherfuckers all-stars?
Why are you gay?
Who says I'm gay?
You are gay.
I guess so. I guess not only do we have all-stars, but we also have we're a little gay, and that's exciting. And our guest today, I don't know that he's gay, but he is spectacular. And you can be both, and I believe that. That's something that I personally believe, and I'm going to run on that when I become president. But he's amazing. You know him from his work on Southside. He is both a performer and writer on Southside. You know him from his work on Grown-ish. You know him from his work on a bunch of other shows that he probably would tell me to shut the fuck up about if I brought them up. He's so funny. Please give it up for our guest, Mr. Will Miles.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah. What was that clip from? I need to laugh about
more. A dance hall. Just a general okay, dance hall.
Okay. I think he's talking about the you are gay.
Oh.
Why are you gay part.
I don't know where any of these come from.
I think it is in the middle of a Beanie Man song.
Yeah. It's kind of a Mr. Vegas situation.
That's like when you go to Morehouse in the Jamaica, like there's a gay Jamaican kid and you see his dad finally find out.
Oh.
That happens.
That's amazing. Tell us more about Morehouse.
Oh, man. And Jamaicans. Jamaicans do not like homosexuality.
Yeah, they're not super bulk. Tolerant in that way, but...
In bulk. You know, like, I'm not saying all Jamaicans do this, but at least as many as I've met so far.
Good for you for holding out hope that you're going to meet the first tolerant Jamaican. Not me.
I, for one, think that the Jamaicans are a vastly diverse tapestry and enjoy all types of sexuality, Bati included.
I think that's hopeful thinking. I think many of them are many of them are, obviously. I don't think a lot of the elders, as they say, enjoy knowing this stuff.
Yeah, I think they are a diverse tapestry of homophobes. And I personally am excited to meet every flavor.
I dated a lesbian girl once. Well, I dated a woman who was dating another woman. But before we started,
while you were dating,
I'm sorry, you're gonna have to
This is obviously
that a little
insane.
Bit more clearly than you are currently.
So one of my friends was dating this girl, but the girl was Jamaican, and she was like, "Yo, when we go out, you got to go out with her, and I got to just hang back, so they can't know I'm gay." And then so I was like dating this girl for this other girl, like it looked like I was almost dating both of them at the time. In these Jamaican clubs, but then eventually I started to fall in love with the Jamaican girl.
Whoa,
that is actually that is a rom-com.
Actually started dating her.
Yeah,
if I've ever. Wow, well, that's amazing.
So, oh, there's more to unpack inside of this. So you start off as a reverse beard. It sounds like
yes, exactly.
In this
exactly
situation,
right.
Truly just a force field to keep these young ladies protected from. The community at large that didn't like what was happening, but then you fall in love with this girl and then you and the girl start smashing.
We did smash. Yeah. And then, the other girl got pretty pissed and,
sure.
Yes. I imagine.
That tends to happen. I think when the girl you've been trusting with this third party, deals. Yeah, I think
but
you get a little
upset. But
that's
her fault for not thinking Will was in the game.
Exactly. And part of it is like, it is a little bit like, oh, you didn't think I could actually pull.
Yeah.
And in some respect, yeah, honest thoughts. It's like,
yeah.
I didn't think I could either. It was one of those times where you're having sex and you're like, I can't believe like she initiated this. Like, this is wild.
Yeah, that's most of the
like,
time.
Where like I was just grabbing her hand to like get some food or something and she sat down on me and started making out. I was like, this is unbelievable.
Whoa.
I'm gonna never forget this. And it was almost 20 years ago now, and I still haven't forgotten. So,
yeah, this feels like a 2008 Ryan Reynolds film.
Yeah. This is like Pond to Replay era.
Right before Pond to Replay.
Okay. Were you guys listening to like a lot of Wayne Wonder?
Yeah. And, you know your shit, young man. No.
Yeah, no, I'm up on it.
And who else? Oh, there was like Sean Kingston was kind of blowing up.
Okay.
Damn.
Man.
This is like 05, 04. Yeah.
Can we? I know we have stuff to talk about, but can we cast this movie right now, real fast?
Yes. Oh, I think we have to. I think that would only be the only responsible choice that we could make inside of this is casting.
So who's Will, first of all?
Great question.
Who's the child star from Raven who's constantly fucked up now?
Oh, Orlando Brown?
Orlando Brown.
This is his comeback. This
Whoa.
Is his comeback. Okay, you trust
so
him.
So when he's
like
playing
that.
You, are you imagining he got sober and healthy
yes.
and then is like, I'm ready to finally play the part of Will Miles?
Yes. I feel like he watched his clips and was like, what the fuck was I on?
Yeah.
Did he say he fucked Drake and he fucked Bow Wow or something?
He said a lot. I think he said he fucked Raven too, which we all know is probably not true.
He said that he sucked Raven's titties. He made a lot of slurping noises in response to whatever those were. And then very recently, he said that Diddy gave him head, although he did not say it. Again, similar slurping noises. But
yeah,
this time,
I saw that.
Diddy put it on him.
I think he said Diddy gave me that mbop or something.
Yeah, that mbop. Yeah, exactly.
And then he just went bop, 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 bop.
And I feel like he said Drake got that good pussy or something along those lines.
I think he said Bow Wow has that good
pussy. Bow Wow.
I would believe that. I think Drake would be a... Drake would not be a giving lover. I think he would be a selfish lover.
Whoa.
Drake just lays there. We all know it.
Whoa, y'all, this is some real hater shit. Whoa.
Leave it to light skin. Let's stick up for light skin. But Drake,
y'all really think Drake fish?
Listen, I don't know a lot about how Drake or anybody has sex, frankly. But I feel fairly certain that Drake is a pretty given lover.
Nah, I bet it's like Gucci Mane and Spring Breakers.
Fuck.
Oh, wow. What a reference. Yeah.
He gives women Birkin bags after he smashes.
Yeah, because he didn't do anything before.
Y'all are bugging. I think Drake's putting it down on these ladies.
No, if he was putting it down, he wouldn't give them shit but a fucking... Uber home.
I think his whole thing is wanting to be loved beyond the capacity that he is capable of being loved. So I think he does everything out of his way to eat you out for too long, to like dick you down as properly as possible, to send you home with goodies and treats.
Then
and
why
shit.
Don't they ever last? Serena's with the Reddit guy
because
now.
He has no capacity for it because he hasn't unpacked whatever that shit was with his mom in the first mixtape. But more than anything.
Oh, when she tried to run away from home.
Yeah, where she was like truly spiraling from whatever his career.
He did rap that like we could all relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know who probably puts it on is Common. I bet he lays it down.
I bet Common is going from the top ropes.
Right? Because he runs the gamut of women too, where it's like, of black women. Where it's
I
like,
bet Common like is calling him Joe.
He does it with non-Chicago women and they're like, what does that mean? And he's like, I'll explain, sister. Where I come from, we talk a little different.
If you listen to Come Close, you know he's smashing correctly.
Oh,
every
yeah.
time. Come Close is an anthem.
Yeah, Common is, I think we can both agree. I think Common's probably the light-skinned hero as far as smashing goes. Yeah.
I won't Over disagree Drake. With that. I think Common's probably putting it down. I think even Microsoft commercial Common is still handling his business.
Probably even more so.
Turtleneck Common is...
Turtleneck Common's where he was truly like nailing it.
What about Newsboy Hat Common?
Yeah. That dude was still... I mean, beer drinking Common on like Resurrection and all that. He was definitely...
Common Sense? Was Common Sense putting it... Like, I used to love her?
Yeah, probably. Where I think he started to fall off in terms of putting it down on rando ladies is I think right around that time where he did that movie where he was like dating the white lady and dancing with his shirt off. Y'all remember that?
No.
Recent.
Yeah.
Isn't that Anna or something?
Yeah, he was like paired across from some white woman. I can't even remember who it was. But
All About Nina. I think All About Nina. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it truly was like, yo, he has no business in this film. This nigga's from the south side of Chicago. What is happening?
Don't put him in a box, though. He could do Microsoft, but he can't.
It was way more believable that he was smashing Queen Latifah well.
Yeah.
Just right.
It was more believable that he was an NBA player than it was that he was that he was playing acoustic guitar and having sex with this white lady.
How did she respond when he called her queen?
Well, he didn't. He called her Joe too.
Joe too.
She was into it.
Wait, so Will's being played by Orlando Brown. We got to finish casting this.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. What about, so who's the girl that Will snipes?
Snipes is such a foul word.
That's 100% what you did.
I did. I feel bad about it.
Yeah, you did real bad guy behavior. And, you don't get to clean this up in the podcast.
That's true.
Yeah, that's why Lex is so happy about it. It's bad guy behavior. He loves it.
I love it. I love a dirty dog.
I was a dirty dog. You know you're a dirty dog when you're not even trying and it just happens that way. You're like, like I got so many daps when everyone found out on campus.
It's pretty amazing.
And I was like, oh, that,
I figured
that
it out.
My intent.
Yeah. I think the girl you're sniping should be Yaya. What's her name? Yaya DaCosta.
Oh.
From Top Model turned actress. She's bad. She's unapproachably hot.
She was on Top Model, isn't she? Yeah. Candyman?
Oh, no, that's a different lady.
Nia DaCosta. Yeah. That's Nia DaCosta. She
maybe DaCosta ain't her last name. I don't know.
No, I know Yaya DaCosta who you're talking about. She is crazy. That would be a good one. Because it's got to be one that you almost think couldn't happen.
Yeah.
It does.
Yes. That's exactly accurate. Yeah.
She looks West Indian in some kind of way. She looks like she could... If I'm Hollywood casting, I'm not offending anybody when I cast her.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
I know exactly who this is. Yeah.
So now the other one.
She was on Ugly Betty.
Yeah. Now the other one.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's a good show. Sure. That's a good show. Don't be like that. Don't be like that. That's a good show.
Thank you.
The other one has to be more clearly a lesbian.
Mm.
You know, I'm thinking, what's her name? Breezy from Empire. The dark skin one. You know who I'm talking about?
I don't, but I'm excited to find out. I didn't watch Empire.
Oh, that's good. She had short hair?
Yeah.
Short hair? Yeah. She was great. Wait, you didn't watch Empire?
No. I had better things to do. But
what better things?
get in touch with God. Think about the universe as a whole.
Terrence Howard as Jay-Z is all you need to see.
Bro, he didn't even know that movie. He didn't even know it was a TV show. He thought it was a documentary.
Terrence Howard and his math. Yeah.
We've had endless discussions about Terrence Howard and the math on this podcast.
Of course.
But it sounds like we've got a solid casting here.
Yeah.
Yaya DaCosta.
Breezy is good. I mean, you guys can look her up. It's Breezy.
And of course, Orlando Brown.
And of course, in his comeback, in his big comeback.
Yeah.
This is going to get him an Essence Award.
I love that. I love him getting a full Mickey, Mickey Rourke in the wrestler sort of like return to his triumphant moment.
This is basically the black wrestler.
He is, yeah.
I mean, he's got to get off that shit, though.
All right. We can't bullshit anymore. I feel like we've wasted... Maybe the most time we've ever wasted before we've even gotten to a topic, and the listeners are going to be furious. Look, 15 minutes we made it in before we even introduced what today's discussion is. And Will, you came with one that I'm really excited about. This was new to me, if I'm being honest. I did not know that this was such a big deal, but you came with a conspiracy theory that I think is going to make for a great conversation. And I want to get this right. You said, my mama told me.
Chingy was ousted from the music industry because he knew the truth about ISIS.
Yeah, so they're not real.
Please tell me more. Tell me where this started for you, what you know. Tell us everything.
For me, I just read it on the internet once, and I was like, you know what? Well, it starts with, obviously, what's Chingy been up to, which you have to look up every couple of years just to know. Because somebody was like, oh, he dated that trans woman, and then they'd like, and that was like his biggest news story in a while.
Yeah.
But then the whole thing was like, they didn't date, they're just friends, and then it was like, I was like, this is, you brought back Chingy for a lie?
I didn't know that was a lie. I think I just presumed it was sort of like an Eddie Murphy situation.
No, I guess it was just like, they had hung out once. She admitted it was all a lie, but it was like, oh, we don't care. Like, we're not following up on Chingy news.
So, yeah.
So they were like, oh, yeah, whatever. Why is that even news anyway?
I think it's a sad point of I guess, relevance or sort of existence as a famous person, celebrity, whatever it is, when the internet stops caring about your well-being and just is like, oh, you're going to be Twitter for the day. You're just going to be our fun for the afternoon as we make fun of the fact that you got caught with this person who we presumed you would not have previously fucked.
Right. For no apparent reason, you know?
Yeah, he wasn't hurting nobody.
Why couldn't? Yeah, right, exactly, yeah.
I don't think, for the record, I don't think Chingy's ever hurt anyone.
And that's the thing. Why, he had one opinion, and it was that ISIS might not be real. And because this the ISIS thing predates the woman scandal, whatever.
Right.
So, it's got to be a reasoning behind that. Like,
yeah. And when you read about it, did they provide any context? Was he just like at a concert and was like right there? And then he was like, all right, ISIS ain't real. Have a good night, y'all.
I laughed because you said a concert.
Listen, even a garage can be a concert if enough people show up outside of it.
Yeah, all you gotta do is hang some lights.
Yeah, hey, all right. Yeah, I'm about to have a concert tonight. I'm just going to talk during dinner with my wife and daughter. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I just thought it was like, oh, it's got to be true. I won't do any more research. But
I mean, here's the only reason I think that it's not true is like rappers say pretty crazy shit and never get canceled, right?
Yeah.
Have you heard Jay Electronica's verse on IDK's song Red? It's wild.
But what does he say?
He says, y'all can have Dr. Fauci. I'm sticking with Dr. Wesley. I'll never let the CDC come and finesse me.
Is that what he did? Oh, Jay.
I will say that I'm constantly impressed with people's ability to insert their anti-vaccination shit in conversations. I was doing a club this past weekend in Richmond, Virginia, and like there was no reason for vaccinations to have come up, but the host was determined to be like, hey, bro, I don't believe in that shit. And I was like, whoo, all right, man, I let you come in the green room. This is this is not ideal. He's like, yeah, my whole family, none of us believe in that. My grandma makes tea. I'm like, okay, all right.
What kind of tea?
It's a lot of people.
Apparently really strong tea that is knocking out COVID and impotence and all kinds of stuff.
Impotence.
Tea is not medicine. I hate that I have to say it often.
It's not.
I don't know. CMOS is medicine.
Uh-oh.
See, I'm somewhere in the middle, you know? I'm like, I'm not quite Kyrie, but I'm like, I'm not going to lie. Kyrie was making some good points.
And you're a Kyrie supporter at this point? You are invested in what Kyrie's got?
I don't know if I'm 100% invested. I like that he uses King and Queen. And I like
I mean, we can say the stuff we like about him. I like that he has handles better than everyone.
Yeah, he's the best dribbler to ever dribble. That don't make him smart, you know, or reasonable.
Or a doctor.
Ankh earrings. If you got Ankh earrings, you're smart though, right? That's how we view the world.
I mean, that is true. That is true.
I feel like I've told this story on the podcast before, but I was actually there when Kyrie first said that the Earth was flat, or at least first like sort of acknowledged it in a room. I was at the All-Star game doing this thing for Oculus.
Wow.
And was weirdly like at a fucking podium interviewing. I wasn't interviewing because I was too cowardly, but I was standing next to a bunch of people interviewing LeBron. And then one of the people that was interviewing LeBron goes, LeBron, this is back when he's on the Cavs. LeBron, did you hear what your teammate said about the Earth being flat? And then LeBron laughs, and literally Kyrie's at a podium not 20 feet away from him. And he goes, Hey, yo, Re. You think the Earth is flat? And then Kyrie just like smiled and he went, yeah. I was like, oh, he's just that's a silly Billy. And I thought it was just going to keep being silly Billy shit. And then he took it very seriously. And it was like, yeah. this is getting weird, bro. Just be a silly Billy. I don't like
this. Yeah, you don't have to really.
Watch him on The Shop. He was on The Shop recently. And he sort of gets into it. And it's like, oh, you're like a weirdo for real. But like,
I can't watch The Shop. I can't watch The Shop. I feel like that show is for robots.
Whoa.
What? This is controversial.
Yeah, what's bumping you in The Shop?
It's just every time I watch The Shop, everything everybody says feels so calculated.
Oh, I could see that.
You know what I'm saying? Like nothing about it feels like genuine conversation.
Yeah, it's like six PR machines working at once.
Exactly. It feels like an industry plant.
Like I would say everybody but Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart goes on there and he says difficult things that he thinks his PR told him to say, but in fact he's actually making it worse somehow.
Which is why I've also grown to love Kevin Hart.
I never left.
I don't think I ever left either, but when I hear him talk about money with Jay-Z, I'm like, and I ask around about that interview and nobody else really dug it except me. And I was like, I really enjoyed that. Like, yeah, it's two rich niggas talking about money for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I hate that shit. Day. I'll be real. I think that's the dumbest thing in the world is watch a bunch of billionaires sit around and be like, you know what my difference was? I believed in myself. And it's like, fuck you. Fuck you, you piece of shit. I've been believing in myself this whole time and it ain't did nothing for nobody.
I don't know. Shut you up. Got a couple gold rings. You got a house. Don't. It's cool.
Fake. Yeah, you got a pinky ring.
Fake chain. Aww. All of it's fake.
Oh, shit. He said the house is fake. What?
House is falling apart. My wife beats me. What do you want? This is all. None of this is a byproduct of believing in myself.
Believe, man.
Also, because really stupid people believe in themselves.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But look at it work out for them. Like, look at like Kyrie, for instance.
Back his to mind my hero, is stupid, Kyrie. But his body is smart.
Yeah, his body is.
Yeah, it sounds like you're sexually harassing him. Not gonna lie, but
it ain't your brain; it's your booty. All right, we need to take a break. We've this truly may be the most off track, meaningless episode we've ever been a part of. And I can't wait to do more of it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more Will Miles, more My Mama Told Me.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can you lend a nigga a pencil?
Yeah, we're back here with more My Mama Told Me, more Will Miles. We're still talking about the possibility that Chingy is being alienated in the music industry because of his knowledge of what's really happening with ISIS. Were you a Chingy fan? Man, I'll pose this to both of you. Were either of you Chingy fans at his height?
No.
I would say, were you not a Chingy fan? Because that says more about you. Everybody was a Chingy fan.
That felt like a defensive answer.
I wouldn't say fan. I think that here's what I like about Chingy. Everybody else's verse on Holiday Inn, the fact that he pulled Jason Weaver and Keisha Knight Pulliam out for the One Call Away video.
Yep.
And I hated that song right there. I did hate it. I hated it. I hated it a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, I really didn't like it.
The chicken head was a very popular dance.
That's true. I forgot that he was a pioneer.
Yeah, I think he was the sole pioneer, I think.
Did he invent it?
Yeah.
I don't know that he invented it, but he certainly was the he was the catalyst for us realizing that St. Louis wasn't complete garbage.
Yeah.
Whoa, is that a Nelly shot?
I think Nelly put St. Louis on the map, but Nelly didn't introduce us to St. Louis culture. Chingy really gave us St. Louis culture, and the chicken head was at the root of that.
That was such a good dance for like guys who couldn't dance.
Uh-huh.
It was so good.
Didn't Jaquan do it too? It was like, yeah.
Yeah, yep. Jaquan did it too. Jaquan, that teen who sounded drunk on every track.
Yeah.
I got a fake ID though.
Is that Jaquan or Jabba the Hutt? Hard to tell.
Who knows?
Let the beat play. We'll figure it out.
I like the chicken head because it came right on the heels of the Harlem Shake, which was a far more difficult dance physically.
Yeah,
I tried it though.
Of course you tried it.
You tried the Harlem Shake, you mean?
A bunch of times, yeah.
You know what?
I'm not going to even hold y'all. I used to be pretty nasty at Harlem
Shake. Hit it. Really? Hit one time.
I can't do it
Come
no
on,
more.
Come on, Langston.
You can do it with the hat and everything,
Come
too.
Come on, Langston.
Throw the hat back.
You got, this was back when t-shirts were four shirts. You know what I mean? It was back when things were oversized and you just had to hit your shoulders hard enough and you get a person to hold up your collar and goddamn, you were killing it.
You know what I would do when I tried to do the Harlem Shake was I would just grab the bottom of the t-shirt and move it around.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't good.
That was the beauty of the Harlem Shake where there was no rules to it. So as long as you were on beat, you were nailing it.
That's true.
Like jumping and shit though. Like Showtime is kind of an offshoot of the Harlem Shake, I feel like. Like Showtime on the Subway?
Yeah, I don't know what those boys call that New York dancing on the subway bullshit. But it's a function of that, right? Like I think the Harlem Shake was sort of like there's a Venn diagram. There's a bunch of crossover inside of it.
Now I'm like trying to, I looked like Dave Chappelle when I did it. You remember how bad his was?
Yeah. See, I feel like I was in college when all this was going down, maybe, because I remember being territorial about not having to do the Harlem Shake anymore.
Yeah, because the chicken head was so much easier. Yeah.
I was like, I'm Midwest, and I've never once planned on going to St. Louis, but I will do this instead of the Harlem Shake.
I think that is a weird breaking point for, or at least an older generation. Now I think the internet has kind of changed it, but like there used to be a time where like you reached a certain age and you were just like, I don't do that no more. I ain't like, for me, it was when I went to college, the fucking Soulja Boy, Superman, that hoe was like sort of hitting its stride and was like, okay, I'm not going to do that. I can't. I got to make a choice. It's bitches around. I got to decide if I'm going to be a Superman that hoe ass dude or if I'm going to just get to know them emotionally.
Yeah, that was smart though, because I don't think that aged well.
No, I don't think so either.
It did not.
The Superman that hoe was, I think that was the first age where I thought a rapper looked stupid. Because when you're young, like you take it all in when you're young, so they all look cool to me. But yeah. Soulja Boy was the first one where you're like, nah, this is dumb. And then I used to listen to Joel Ortiz, and he was like, when he said in that song, he was like, do me a favor, accidentally step on your white sunglasses. I really felt that. I was like, yeah, this is real hip hop.
Hip hop.
Yeah, never having been in New York in my life.
I still listen to Joel Ortiz. He had a song with a guy named Apollo, and it's dope. He said, he has my favorite line. When you're gifted, sometimes you wrap yourself into a box. And something about like, well, here I am, still the hottest nigga in the barbershop. Still the hottest nigga in the barbershop is a perfect description. It's like,
I like Joel Ortiz.
I do too.
They should have put a stage with a cage that had a Joel in it. That's how I feel. I like that guy.
Guys, he's deep in his 40s. You got to let him go.
How old are you, Langston?
That's irrelevant. I'm not picking on children. I've moved on with my life.
He's self-aware, though. He said, here I am, the hottest thing in the barbershop. He knows it doesn't go further than that.
Yeah,
he's there for one discussion, and it's like, you know who's a good rapper? Joel Ortiz. Oh, he's the top five. And then it goes around, and then somebody walks in with, reasoning. And they're like,
I was just in the barbershop today. Joel Ortiz didn't come up. Not one, not one barber was like, you know who we need to be talking about? Is Joel Ortiz.
That's facts. I wouldn't bring it up to my barber either. Shout out to Chris. That's because my barber's 23, so he always like calls me old. So I couldn't even be like, you know what you need to be listening to, son.
Damn. Am I the only person, and maybe you guys remember this, and I guess I've always wanted clarity about this. We were talking about Soulja Boy and Superman that hoe. There was a conspiracy theory when I was younger that Superman that hoe was a reference to coming on a lady's back and then slapping the sheets on her back so that it formed a Superman-like cape.
You know, I heard something about that.
I did too.
I forgot about that. Yeah!
That's how you know he was a child and not having sex yet, though. Because that's something you say in theory. If you're actually having sex, you're not going to try to do all that.
It's a prank. It's a real Ashton Kutcher interpretation of what sex is.
Especially post-nut.
Yeah.
Exactly. I am not here for post-nut shenanigans. Pre-nut, let's go crazy. Post-nut, let's get a juice and some rest.
Yeah, even what's his name? He slaps an egg on their heads during the fucking. So what's old boy? The porn star who be slapping eggs on heads. We just talked about him the other day. He's rapping.
Oh, Brian Pumper?
You typed in some wild shit.
Yeah, Brian Pumper. He slaps eggs on heads.
No, he did not know that.
Yeah, am I mistaken? Yeah, Olivia, back me up here. Brian Pumper.
How deeply you guys watched the whole porn?
No, this is Brian Pumper's signature move, and if you boys don't know this about him, you're not fans of his work. Brian Pumper's signature move is fucking a lady from the back and then slapping her head with an egg.
Wow.
Does the egg have
I've seen a lot of Pumper. Maybe I never got far enough, because I've probably never watched more than 4 minutes of Permit.
Oh, you got to watch some of his compilations.
So wait, is it a thing where he's about to come and he does it?
No, I think he's doing it just like whenever he feels.
Like in the middle?
Whenever he's got an egg, he's like, you getting egged, bitch.
You know the girl is like looking out the side of her eye like, does he have a fucking egg right now?
And he probably, you know, he tricks him, he talks to him. He's like, I would never egg you, baby girl. I just do that to these other bitches. And then he's egging him.
It's on his IG?
Yeah, no, he's a real monster.
I mean, to be fair, if you're King Ding Ling, oh yeah, here's a lady holding two eggs.
Yeah, no, it's truly his signature.
He smashes them. Yeah, he's doing it.
Yeah, he's doing it.
He's out here living his dreams, man.
That's pretty cool.
I say all this to say that Brian Pumper at least is doing it in the middle of the experience, whereas what Soulja Boy is describing feels much more like, to your point, Will, a childish thing to do it afterwards.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's like you were thinking about this the whole time you were having sex.
Yeah, yeah. Help that lady find a car. Stop what you're doing.
Yeah. And she came to your dorm room? Sex. Come on.
Yeah,
come on, Soulja Boy. You,
make her oodles and noodles.
You knew better than this.
Throw on some Entourage.
Wait. Soulja Boy and dorm room don't go together, though, I don't think.
Soulja Boy seems like he would have bought a dorm room. Like, he wouldn't go to the college, but he does seem like he would buy a dorm room and be like, I'm the first rapper to live in a dorm when I didn't have to.
Right. I live at Graves Hall in Morehouse. I bought room 2.
He was the first rapper with the Popeyes chicken sandwich, or the Wingstop chicken sandwiches, though. I saw that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I saw it online.
Wow.
And so Rick Ross came in and hated on him and took over?
I don't know about that. He just had like 6 of them in a video when he was like, I'm the first rapper to have a Wingstop chicken sandwich.
Damn.
I will say Rick Ross is a more believable spokesperson for Wings. Like, I trust him more. Somebody who does cocaine, I do not trust for food. Yeah.
Soulja Boy looks like he only eats candy.
No, Soulja Boy looks like the dude who you say lemon pepper and he comes out with barbecue. It ain't.
Yeah.
He's not a trustworthy individual. If I say lemon pepper to Rick Ross, them lemons gonna be peppered. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like in a new way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, is this lemon white pepper? Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm very biased when it comes to food.
We've gone unbelievably far from our original location. Let me ask you, so you were at one point a fan of Chingy. You were then prompted to look up where he was and what he was up to and found out that he had these feelings about ISIS. What was your feeling in seeing that?
He said they were an Illuminati plot to spark population control.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
That seems like too many moving parts.
Yeah, it's a lot of layers all at once.
Yeah.
That's everywhere, all the time, all at once.
Why would they have to do with population control?
Everybody has a different population control theory if you frequent hotel websites, but it is like, it's weird because it's like, yeah, they're all working, like, you know, make, you know, people kill black people.
Yeah.
It's all happening.
I think the interesting thing about population control theories is that they are oftentimes difficult to refute with the person who's bought into it, in part because our population across the planet is going down, right? Like, just, you know, through our own education of like sex and reproduction and all the things, and also just resources changing and the fucking capitalism changing the way that people approach their own lives. The population is shrinking across the globe. So it's hard to be like, nah, that ain't real. Because they're like, right. Yeah, but statistically, I'm right. And it's like, well, yeah, stupid, but not for the reason you think.
Yeah, you're...
Yeah, it's true. And if you go on hotep.com and get on the message boards,
you will... Hotep.com being a real website is... I pray that they have it. I hope nobody...
If nobody has it, we should grab it.
Nobody has it? Are you serious?
I don't know. I've never looked up hotep.com.
I'm going to do it right now. If nobody has it, we got to get it.
We have to have it if it's still available.
I already have Hennessy and Dreams or whatever. God. Titties and Hennessy or what?
Hotep Games.
Hotep Games. What does that mean?
I don't know. And it says not secure. And I'm like, of course it's not secure. The Hotep
Star Force 2193, the Hotep controversy, a turn-based
strategy game for 1 to 5 players. Playing as one of 5 different factions, each with different goals, you may defend helpless alien civilizations or exploit them for their planet's natural resources.
Oh, no.
That's right. That's right.
Just a classic game a bunch of hoteps like to play.
Wow. See, if we control the population of white folks, it's different.
It's fascinating because essentially this hotep games, it seems like they're basically going like, look, we lost. The white people got us, but we can fuck up an alien group right now.
I want to play it, but I worry that it'll take my credit card info.
Oh, it absolutely
it'll
will.
Do so much worse. It might even start sending you spam emails that are like seemingly accurate.
Yeah, like I'm going to get a virus.
Nah, this doesn't sound like they researched this.
They have an about us section on this page, and I'm going to read it to you guys. It says, Hotep Games is the branch of Simple Design Software LLC that produces all sorts of online games, from card games to turn-based strategy to MMORPGs, or I guess that's shooting games. All of our games have at least one feature or attribute that is original and unique to the genre of the game, creating a gameplay experience like no other, and true to our name, our games are simple and easy to learn. All right.
They use the word game too much to be believable.
Yeah, that also has nothing to do with hotepery.
No, it truly, they said they're a family-run company, and we treat our customers as family, too.
Whoa.
Does this mean that hotep.com is not run by hoteps?
No, it doesn't seem that way. It seems like they truly just are taking advantage of a bunch of hoteps not grabbing their shit when they could have.
Damn. I'm checking hotep.net.
We need Tobin Weijay to buy this website for all of us.
We can get hotep.net.
Yeah, this was a big mistake for them not to have invested in hotep.com.
Oh my God, hotep.net. I would like hotep.net to be my website from now on.
Yeah. Oh, is hotep.net where the hoteps are hanging out?
No, it's open. We could get it.
Oh shit.
We should.
We got to buy hotep.net.
I think for the culture, for sure.
Can Will Ferrell,
what culture?
Let's have not a good Will one. Ferrell pay for it, right?
Yes. Yeah, we
isn't he behind this? Let's
we'll call Will and we'll say, Mr. Ferrell, David and I have been talking, and we really think if you could pull out your credit card right now, hotep.net is open and ready for business.
I say we call him Big Willie style.
Yes. That name is up in the air since the slap. So, I mean,
he's more big reflective style now.
Hey, what can I say?
I will say since we're bullshitting at this point, I will say that that apology was a terrible mistake.
You should have done it.
I think he could have avoided that completely and just went on tweeting from Ecuador or whatever it is that he's doing right now.
Go back to the funny. We like the funny videos. Not we, but like the people do.
Yeah.
I'd rather him not be sorry.
Yeah, I live in it.
I'd rather he not feel bad about it. I'd rather be like, yeah, and what? Like
honestly, I approve of that more than apologies.
Right, same.
Apologies. Like a private apology, fine. I respect that. And you guys make up and we don't see it at all. But a public apology? Well, get out of here. I don't care.
But also,
I don't really care about your life.
Chris was already running, you know, fucking from stadium to stadium saying how he didn't give a shit that you slapped him and fuck you. Like, the apology isn't going to, like, come off. He's not going to be like, you're right, I'm going to cut these bits from my act.
No. Yeah. No, it's all
you can't do hood nigga shit and then all of a sudden try to be a nice guy. Like,
yeah.
You know, follow through with the shit that you went up on stage, smack somebody, follow through with that energy.
Can you imagine how amazing it would be if Will Smith did a late in life heel turn and then now he was just slapping people?
Oh, that'd be great.
Like, and that's what the end of it was. It was just like, man, remember when he was a best friend? before he slapped the shit out of Alfonso Ribeiro?
I'll be honest, the only reason I don't like that idea is because I've said enough bad things about him that have caught attention that I'd be worried it would eventually come to me. But otherwise, and frankly, I'd eat a slap for the greater good of like enjoying this heel turn.
That would fuck me up if Will Smith slapped, because I would not ride for you.
See,
no, you.
See, he likes me and David. So
yeah, that's
we
true.
We are his good side still. So
like, I was about to say, you guys have bonded with him.
We're friends.
I've only burned the bridge, and I'd eat that slap, and I'd do it very differently than Chris Rock did. I'll go on record and say that there's no version of me getting slapped and I finish reading the white man's words, but I will. I will eat that slap.
Packers words.
Yeah, fuck that. No, you slap me. I'm screaming and falling down and kicking my feet. I'm going to cause a scene. I'm going to make people think that my jaw is broken. It is going to be a kerfuffle at the very least.
Man, if that's he kerfuffles genius. You, I'm going to have to come in and Jay Prince this situation.
You're just standing there with your finger guns in the middle.
All right, Langston and Will Smith about to do a concert together.
It's going to be for saving the rainforest for some reason.
Yeah. Right. It's going to be free. Some other person who's definitely going to stay in jail.
Yeah, it's like, why are these two doing the concert for that? All right, I guess. We're going to do a concert to bring Tukey Williams back to life.
This is going to fund the Tukey hologram.
Langston and Will will dap out and switch sets.
And then Will slaps the Tukey hologram.
Yeah. And everybody cheers like, yeah, I actually don't like the message, but I like the slap.
Yeah. The Crips killed my family. Get him, Will.
Yeah, Will. And that's how he gets back on top.
He should have done a sketch where he slaps everybody.
Yeah. Like,
he loves doing internet sketches. Do a sketch where you walk down the street and slap everybody.
Bro, you gotta.
That would be so funny.
You gotta get past whatever this healing is and just get back to being a silly Billy, because none of this is going to satisfy the audience you think it's serving.
No, they don't love you.
No, and furthermore, the Academy is not going to like track your apology and be like, fine, you can come back next year.
No.
You bugged the fuck out. They got in trouble because of it. Yeah, that's it, big dog.
Yeah, that's okay, though. I'm saying start rapping again. Start cursing in your raps now.
Yeah.
Will Smith drops a pussy record in 2022?
Whoa. I'm listening.
Megan Thee Stallion featuring Will Smith?
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Oh, that's smart. He doesn't make his own record. He just hops on somebody who's already established good pussy talk.
Yeah.
And just talks about fucking her.
Yeah. Yeah. He said he's going to fuck her.
He just dropping bars like Jada doesn't know. And they're like, Will.
This is for that Austin Bryson Tiller type nigga. I forget who it was, but
August Alsina?
August Alsina? Is that what you're
August
trying to
Alsina,
say?
Yeah.
Austin Bryson Tiller? All right, I don't know that we're going to beat that. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back with more Will Miles and more My Mama Told Me.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff.
Yeah, we're back here with more Wormies, more My Mama Told Me. We're still talking about, and I think we're still talking about it, but I'm not even sure what we're talking about anymore. I think we're still talking about Shingy taking down the American government with his revelations that terrorism across the world is being fabricated.
Oh, yeah. Ultimately, I will say bottom line on this conspiracy, I don't agree with it just because I've heard rappers say crazier shit and not get taken out. You know what I mean?
Whoa.
That's why I think that, like, I think it was probably poor management, a lack of talent. I think these are the things that got Chingy out of the game.
Yeah, Chingy wasn't a particularly gifted rapper.
No.
Hey, come on. What is this?
He had a very signature sound. I'll give him that. He came with a very signature sound, and he also was doing... He was introducing a signature culture that was not necessarily in sort of like the common conversation at the time. And this was also an era where I think the Midwest was sort of like in its heyday as far as like hip hop was concerned.
Absolutely.
Like Chicago was really on. St. Louis was getting some love. Even fucking Memphis was sort of like really like doing like, and Memphis has stayed on, I think, better than even all three for a long time. But the Midwest was really fucking doing its thing. That said, I agree with you, Bori, that this feels more like a dude who just kind of hit his peak and didn't know what else to do with it.
Yeah, that's
fine. I feel like Chingy's gonna get a Google alert about this podcast.
Yo, oh no.
He's gonna hear that we're shitting on him, and then he's gonna like tweet out like, hey, these niggas ain't real. Twitter, do your thing. And
yo,
nobody's gonna do their thing.
Do your thing, and there's like 12 lights coming through. Yeah, like,
we ain't gonna do it. Yeah, sorry, Chingy. We ain't doing that thing that you want us to do.
I do worry though if he sticks the internet. Like, you know how all those bad pictures of Ari Spears came out after he said that shit about Lizzo? I definitely got some of those pictures. This is like me eating a donut, like.
Ari Spears is the worst person in the world, though, so I don't think he'll ever be that ashamed. I genuinely hate that guy.
You know, Lizzo is an easy target, but Chingy is sort of like we're attacking maybe a injured rare animal. So it's hard to know if the internet's going to defend him or if they're just like, kill it.
Are we punching down?
I think we are punching down by attacking Chingy. I don't think so. Sure.
I bet you Chingy has more Instagram followers than me right now.
100% he has more Instagram followers than you, but how many of them care about him is the big question.
I don't know.
I mean, we don't follow him. So. And we care.
I don't care.
I care. All right.
190,000 followers.
Dog, that's relevant.
Yeah. But see, music is more.
Yeah, me and him are pretty much neck and neck, I'd say. We're right.
I've always said that you are the Chingy of this young generation of comedians.
And it's always hurt my feelings every time you said it. Every time you said it, it's hurt more and more than the last
time. The Chingy. Have you seen his sideburns since he said this, too? He looks progressively older.
Does he?
He's got, like, thick sideburns with no beard, which is a sign of, like, you are somebody's uncle who's
been around
the block and done something. Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, man. His pants are pulled all the way up. He's doing concerts in what looks like abandoned restaurants. None of this feels like the Chingy that we admired.
I can't imagine it's easy to, like, he's a musician, and I don't think comedians can punch down on musicians because musicians are always above us.
Right.
In a way. That's
right.
Fair.
Because what they say means more to people than what we say. So.
Yeah, and he was still a rapper. Like, I'm not
doing
rapper stuff.
Yeah, no, he's fine. Look, okay, April 10th of this year, he performed at the halftime of the Clippers game.
Oh, we're punching up.
Yeah, we're punching up. Now, I will say I'm watching this video and it is not a exciting halftime. The crowd ain't going crazy for him.
Yeah.
I mean, am I still going to go get a pretzel with some jalapenos and cheese? Yeah.
Yeah. You're not staying in your seat for the big Chingy concert, but
you can watch it on the screen outside.
Yeah, exactly.
Like ordering a hot dog. Like, oh, shit, is that Chingy? Whoa, that's crazy. Oh. I'll get two hot dogs, please.
You're like, oh, that's cool. Chingy got buff. All right, cool. Yeah.
Not Mike Bibby buff, but he got buff. All right, cool.
Well, I think we did it, y'all. I think we nailed this conversation.
We did something.
Yeah. We listen, it's all on wax at this point, one way or the other. Will, could you tell the people at home where they can find you and what cool shit you have going on?
You know, I got a lot of prospective projects coming out. So,
what a shitty answer. You had the entire world of options to choose from. You're like, hey, man, I'm in development. I got a few general meetings coming up that I'm pretty excited about. The folks at Roku said they want to meet. And
I'm just saying, some shit might pop, and I don't want to have been like, I didn't say anything. And then watch season 3 of Southside's coming out pretty soon, too.
Oh, that's what's up.
On HBO Max, not the conglomerate. It's coming out before it's a conglomerate, I think.
Oh, beautiful. Are you going to reprise your role as Adam Bethune?
Unfortunately, no, I'm not coming back as Adam Bethune, but I am still a proud extension of the Southside family, and I'm excited that the show is coming back for season 3.
That show is so fun.
Will is back as J-Maw.
I am back as J-Maw.
Yeah. So watch for that reason, if nothing else.
I just got a Funko Pop doll from ISO, too.
Oh, BS. Me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? It's me in the RTO uniform. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Bori, can you tell the people where they can find you?
I don't know.
What's happening with you, Bori? No,
that's the worst thing.
I forget when these are coming out. Just Cool Guy Jokes 87 on Instagram, and you'll find me.
All right. Well, follow Bori at Cool Guy Jokes 87. And then, as always, you can find me at Langston Kerman on all platforms. If you want to send us drops, if you want to send us your own conspiracy theories, your own accusations about the realities or fakeness of ISIS, you can send them to mymamapod@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. That's about it. Bye, bitch.
can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts. But we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Binge the season of The Passage now. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.